All right, here I am with Bill O'Connor, my man, Bill O'Connor. This is this. Well, actually, I didn't realize this the last time we did a podcast. I said it was the first time we had done one. We'd actually done one before that. Do you remember that?
A long time ago.
Yeah, I think it might have even been a couple of years ago. But we did one early last week, I believe.
On the 18th.
On the 18th. Well, there you go. 9 days ago. Today is April 27th. I'm here with Bill O'Connor, the creator and partner with your wife of North Shore Kid.
Co-creator.
Does your wife write code?
No, but she helps publish the what we publish.
Yeah. Does she go out on? Do you guys do sales?
Actually, the idea was hers.
Oh, really?
The idea of North Shore Kid was Kelly's.
Wow. And so when you break down what you guys do as far as, because it's a business, right?
Yes.
So as far as sales and getting people to come, advertising and stuff like that, what percentage of that does she do or do you do all?
Most of that.
Yeah. How many people come to you as opposed, what percentage of your the people that are on your site actually come to you as opposed to you going out and finding these
most people? Most of them come to us.
Oh, I would think.
Yeah.
I mean, they're crazy. Like anyone that has an event for children or a business that caters to children, they're crazy not to advertise with you because, like I said before, it's my go-to place, my family's go-to place when we don't have anything that we necessarily know we're going to do, the way you have it laid out so clearly and concisely.
We have it laid out so that parents who want to find information based on what, based on their own interests, but if they want to find information on where to go and what to do that day, boom, it's right there.
Yeah.
You land on our page, you can find something right away.
Yeah, it's very clean. Very clean. It's not all, it's, I mean, why... It is super easy to navigate, but today we have a bunch of things to talk about. First thing, by the time people hear this, it'll already have happened. But they're launching the Ardell today at the Gloucester Maritime Heritage Center.
12:30.
Are you planning on bringing B down to that?
I wanted to bring B down, but he's got a fever today, so we're not going to do that.
Both of my kids have strep throat. I wonder if it's going around.
Well, we went to the Big Apple Circus the other day.
Oh.
And usually, we took the train and we did the whole shebang.
Yep.
And he's Bill's a lot of fun, but when he hits his limit, where he starts to crash, he just melts into a puddle.
Yeah. Most kids. Yeah. How old is he?
He's five.
Yeah.
And so that happened to him at North Station. So he basically literally melted into a puddle right on the floor at North Station.
Oh.
And I knew right then and there he was going to be sick for days. So.
Yeah, well, it happened. Madeline is the same way. She's like so fun and everything like that. But when the end of the day, if she's had a rough day, it just all goes to hell. But
it's a food issue too for Bill. If Bill's in a really bad mood, all I have to do is give him some chips and guacamole and boom. He comes right out of it.
Just like that, right?
Yeah.
Well, so I hope people go. I'm sure I'm going to have Len Burgess. There's going to be a bunch of people. For some reason, the Ardell marketing staff, if they have one, or if it's all volunteers, or if it's whoever it is, I get more. The Thomas Lennon has been around forever, and they're very popular. I love those people and everything.
Beautiful boat.
I get so many notices about the Ardell. It's unbelievable. Yep. And so as far as the Ardell, so today they're launching the Ardell though.
Yeah.
And I think that a lot of
it's going to be a good time.
Yep.
I mean, how often do you get to, that's one of the things about the maritime part of Gloucester is how often do you get to see something like that? A pinky schooner being launched into the water. I mean,
and it's free. Just like there's a. I guarantee there's this weekend there'll be 15 cool events that any of the bedroom community towns have nothing like this to offer.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. And it's free. So
it is free.
I hope people go down. I'm sure we're gonna have a lot of coverage from Len Burgess and all these schooner
heads
people.
That's why places like Maritime Gloucester deserve the support of the community because they, you know, they make stuff like this possible.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, and there's a million, and there's a bazillion of these organizations like The Hive.
Yep.
And Art Haven and, oh God, where the list could go. All the things that happened down on Rocky Neck and all the Cape. Oh, the another one is Cape Ann Museum has stuff all the time.
Yep, they have family fun days that are great.
What really?
Yeah, they offer free admission to families, and you know, they focus on a theme. Like last month, it was rescuers, and you know, it was called Rescue Me, and they had like an old ambulance show up from World War One, and you know, they talked about the people who show up when you need help.
A lot of people don't even realize, you know, how much stuff goes on at Cape Ann Museum. It's mind-boggling.
Yeah, I call it a sleeper.
It's definitely a sleeper. And you know, it's funny when people through the blog ask, "Oh, what, you know, what should we do? You know, we're coming into Gloucester. What should we do?" My top always is the top three are always take a afternoon cruise on the Lannan. I guess you could say the Ardell now. I'm just thinking from back then. Go to the Maritime Heritage Center and the Cape Ann Museum. Like those are my top three. Okay, Bill, as a Rocky Necker, I have a question for you. The beach that we do, that the Rocky Neck plunge, the polar plunge, New Year's Day.
Yep.
We were corrected, because I had always referred to it as Oaks Cove Beach. There is a map, the Community Heritage Map of Cape Ann from 1889, that refers to that cove as Oaks Cove.
Mm-hmm.
But we were corrected by, I think, Julie Douglas, maybe, who wrote in and said, that's Flynn's Beach. And she says, Rocky Neckers refer to that as Flynn's Beach.
That may be because of the guy that used to own the property that was adjacent mm-hmm. to the landing there.
Have you heard? I mean, as you grew up, almost your whole entire life, you grew up in Rocky Neck. Have you heard to that beach referred to as Flynn's Beach?
I don't recall.
No.
Hey, I do remember Mr. Flynn.
Yeah.
Who used to own that house. You know those piers that are still, those pylons that are still sticking up?
Yeah.
He used to have like this little walkway that went out to this gazebo structure. It may have been an extension of his house out, you know, over that beach. So when the tide came in, he was sticking out over the water.
Wow. A walkway, like a footbridge kind
yeah,
of type of deal?
Foot, like
was
a footbridge.
Do you think it was
building.
There so that a boat could tie up to it?
I was too young to recall. I don't remember seeing a boat tied up there, but I do remember
those
playing down on that beach and seeing that.
Those pilings make for great photographs because yeah. they're interesting where they just happen to be located.
Well, in our lifetime, those pilings supported a building and a walkway.
I did not know that. That's pretty cool.
And as far as I know, not to go against anybody, especially one of the Douglases,
yeah.
because you know they have
big time roots. Yeah, on that
much
map,
longer history than the O'Connors ever did.
On that map, I mean, in the 1889 mm-hmm. map, you see the Douglas name on plots of land all over Rocky Neck. So
I always heard of it referred to as Oaks Cove.
Hmm. Maybe
but that's because we're newcomers to Rocky Neck.
That's right. Yeah,
we've only been there 40 something years.
Right, but so yeah, so I guess. People, and so maybe you could refer, maybe, and I'm not going to say that this is the fact, but I'd say maybe people could say Flynn's Beach on Oaks Cove would be a proper way. I don't know. Maybe we'll hear from the Douglases. Maybe the Douglases will hear this and then they'll explain if it's official or if that's just what people called it because of Mr. Flynn living there. But that was interesting to me.
I can't remember everything, but I think he was a photographer.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Interesting. Yeah. All right, we had this discussion yesterday with Brian O'Connor about local gas.
No yeah. relation.
But, oh, I know, Brian. Yeah, you don't want to be referred to related to him because he's a little crazy. But I you know, I on the blog we have a link to Cape Ann gas prices, and I don't always notice the gas prices, but lately I have been, and in Gloucester, right now you can get the cheapest gas in Gloucester is $3.57, and it's as high as $3.63. In Hamilton, you can get gas for $3.45, which is 12 cents cheaper than the cheapest Gloucester gas. In Beverly, $3.41 at the Sunoco station right off of exit 18, 16 cents cheaper than the cheapest Gloucester gas station. Ipswich, $3.41, 16 cents cheaper than the cheapest Gloucester gas station as well. Manchester, people continually get porked, like over and over. It's consistently. They're paying $3.69 downtown Manchester. And that place is, that's 28 cents higher than what they could pay in Beverly or Ipswich. The question I have for you is, are you conscious, do you consciously seek out the cheapest gas prices in town? Or do you just kind of, wherever you happen to see your gas light come on, go to that gas station?
We find that the cheapest gas in town is consistently Flanagan's.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's what I go to Flanagan's as well.
And the whole thing about gas is, first, it's a matter of use, okay? How fast, when a gas station fills up its tanks with however many thousands of gallons of fuel, how fast can they go through that, right? So that has a direct impact on what the price of that gas is, right? So let's say you bring up Manchester, okay? The Richdale in Manchester, is that which one you're talking about?
I think it is. I don't want. It's. I think I'm pretty
it's
sure.
It's the one in downtown, across from the supermarket.
I think so, but I'm not. I don't know what other. I don't know. It's anyway, just one of the Manchester.
Anyway, they probably don't blow through gas the way a gas station in, say, Beverly would.
It's the 8 Beach Street, Manchester. Whatever. So Beach Street would be that Richdale.
Okay. So I would...
No, it's a Gulf, actually. It's a Gulf, but I think it's in that... I think it's Gulf gas at that...
At Richdale.
Yeah.
So, you know, how could they possibly go through as much gas as you would at a Sunoco station in downtown Beverly, right? So whatever the price was when they bought their gas, their couple of thousand gallons of fuel...
They're consistently... Kind of, Bill, I look at this chart. I look at this chart all the time.
Yeah.
They are consistently over 20 cents higher than what you could buy it in Hamilton or Ipswich. It's consistent.
It's been that way going back to, you know, when I was still counting pennies on gasoline when it was, you know, a dollar a gallon, you know.
So you get it, so now you buy it at Flanagan because it's full serve, and it's generally within 2 cents it's either, sometimes it's the same price as the
Hess right down the street.
As the Hess, which you have to pump it, and sometimes it is like 2 cents more, but you don't have to pump it. 20 gallons is 40 cents. I'm not getting out of my car to pump it for 40 cents. So anyway, so you base your decision to shop at Flanagan's based on it's consistently right around the cheapest
their
every
consistency.
Day.
Yeah.
And they pump it for you at the right around the same price.
Yeah. And the other thing is that there's an end of the line mentality here in Gloucester, or Cape Ann, right? Because if you look at the price of gas in Rockport, I mean, come on, you know, you're only a couple miles from the nearest gas station, and they're charging you way more.
Mm.
And it's the same thing with food. You go shop
before Market Basket came in. That's for sure.
Right. But it was like if you go shop at Stop and Shop in Beverly, as opposed to Stop and Shop in East Gloucester, you're going to see a huge difference in the price you're paying.
I'm going to tell you this: the price in the Stop and Shop in Beverly is actually just as ridiculously priced.
Oh, is it?
I haven't been
to Stop and Shop since Market Basket came in.
Of course, yeah. Well, I think they have a pricing structure that they can't get out of because I think that there was I think way back probably 10 or 15 years ago, all these big supermarket chains, they were buying each other out and they were paying way too much for multiples of earnings for each other. So they have built into their cost structure like this huge debt load that they have to pass on ridiculous prices, whereas Market Basket, I think that those people have so much money and they've managed their debt so well that they probably pay for things with cash and they don't have this big debt, you know, debt load.
Yeah.
So they can pass on these savings to the consumers.
I mean, when I was younger, I used to drive to Beverly just to shop at Henry's.
Yeah.
Remember the produce stand there? That was in North Beverly. Was it called Henry's?
Yeah, Henry's. Yeah. Yep.
It was awesome.
Exit.
That was like,
right. Exit 20.
You would go to Exit 20, go to Nick's and take a right.
Right. Yeah, that's right. We should say we have Gene from West Springfield, a fan of the blog, just happened to stop by to say hi.
Oh,
say
Gene.
Hi, Gene.
Hi. Perfect timing. Thanks.
So she's sitting in on the podcast. She's a spectator. We have an audience. Also, Ed Collard is in the room. Ed
Hello.
Was there's Ed. He's in the room. He's
no heckling yet.
No heckling, which is good. But we do have a peanut gallery, which is nice. But yeah, and how many people fought Market Basket from coming here?
Yeah, I didn't really pay attention to that.
It's unbelievable because if you did you pay attention when I did that study? There were six random items.
Yeah, I saw that.
And the average price was, I think it was like 33% cheaper at Market Basket than Stop and Shop and Joy's.
That was a great post. It said it all.
It took a lot of work. And those items, I didn't select those because I knew that they were going to be cheaper. Those were totally random, just things that I buy personally on a normal basis. And I went in with an open mind. It wasn't premeditated, and the facts bore themselves out.
Well, these supermarkets play the game too. You know, they know when you are getting paid, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so their prices change when you get paid, basically.
You think
that's
so?
Oh yeah,
on a weekly basis.
Oh yeah,
really? I don't know.
One of the biggest things for me is we eat a lot of chicken breasts in our house. So I follow
chicken. You're a chicken breast magnate.
I'm a chicken. I look at the price of chicken breasts.
Pork bellies.
Exactly, pork bellies. I look at the price of chicken breasts.
Anacott Steel. Buy Anacott Steel. What was that? Wall Street with Michael Douglas.
Yeah. Yeah.
Buy Anacott Steel. Oh, that was.
Yeah, green is good.
Green is good.
Yeah, okay.
Supermarkets believe that.
Oh, that's so funny.
They live it. Market Basket, I love.
Huge fan. So the point that I was trying to make was the people that fought that coming into town, we basically, a regular family, say you spent $125 a week, a family of four, what do you think you spent, $150 a week in groceries or less?
Yeah, $120, $150 somewhere.
So say it was $120 and at Market Basket would have cost you 120 times 1.33, it'd be 159 minus 120 is $39.60 a week savings times 52 weeks a year. That is a $2,059 savings per year per family. That is astounding. And how many people fought that from coming into town? That's a $2,059 per year. Like tax savings.
So should I consider that Market Basket is giving me a tax refund on my property tax? Is that how I should look at it?
That's the way I look at it. I mean, how? I don't understand. Like, how could that be disputed? I mean, it's a family of four. Is that there's more money in your pocket to buy other things, goods and services, or save or whatever.
Or the way I see it is, if you spend the same amount, you're walking out with more in your basket.
Or you could look at it that way.
Yeah.
Well, there you go. Are you you don't strike me as the type. You're more of a homebody. Do you eat out much in Gloucester?
No,
not at all.
No, nope.
Zero.
Not really.
Well, you had cancer. Is it because of your diet that you?
No. I used to be a cook. It is because of my diet, but I also used to be a cook.
So you prefer the way you cook yourself.
Yeah, I know what's going on my plate.
Yeah, and you're conscious of the food that you're buying and stuff like that. Okay.
Yeah.
I'm a big. I eat out a lot. So I was the question was gonna be, have you had any good meals out in town lately? Or have you heard of anything?
You know what? You know what? We're gonna go from my diet as an ex as a person who used to have cancer, to the best fish and chips I've had in a long time.
All right, let's
and
do that.
That was at Cruiseport. I went to Cruiseport. I took my mother there for, just an afternoon lunch. And they had the best fish and chips I've ever had.
Wow.
And but I've discovered, and that's the kind of thing you really can't cook at home. You can't.
You don't want greasy fire ladies going at the house, stinking up the house and everything.
Yeah,
yeah.
And the trick I've learned about fish and chips is that if you're gonna go eat fried food, you want to go when it's not busy.
Mm.
Okay. If you go at lunchtime, and they're plunking fish in there for an hour. Okay. Mm. That oil isn't going to be up to temperature.
Ah.
Right.
Oh yeah. Right.
But if you go in there at 1:30. After lunch rush is gone, okay,
crispy.
You're going to have some nice crispy fish.
Very nice. Good tip right there, Bill.
Yeah.
That's very good.
And that's coming from a cook.
And that's coming from a
someone
cook.
Who cooked.
How about your vegetables? Where do you buy your vegetables? Do you belong to any CSAs or do you believe in CSAs? Or?
Oh, I totally believe in CSA. And we've been a member of Appleton Farms CSA since 2006.
Oh, we have. I don't know how long, but we've been a member there for a while too.
Yeah,
great program.
You can't beat that. I mean,
it's tough to get into. They got a waiting list there.
Some people will say it's pricey. Okay, and you could argue that. Okay, but the cost is offset by the benefit.
I don't think it's pricey if you use it. I think all of these things, including the CSF, the Consumer Supported Fishery, is outrageous if you only show up half the time.
Yeah, you have to go.
But I think there's a lot of people that happen to only show up half the time.
Some people, I'm sure there are people out there who buy CSAs just so they can say
they support it.
I own
it. And they feel good about it. Yeah, I definitely agree with you.
So I'm a big fan of CSA. I get most of my... If I have to buy produce at a store, like in the wintertime, I buy it at Market Basket.
There you go.
But I also grow a lot of my vegetables.
Oh, you got a vegetable garden? Have you started to till the land or anything?
I already prepped my strawberry bed. I'll have strawberries. I'll have plenty of strawberries.
I love strawberries.
But yesterday I started my beans, my peas, a few tomato plants, some carrots, some lettuce.
So you think that the temperature has taken the turn? You're not going to get the cold snap anymore.
I don't know.
Where do you get your seedlings and stuff?
I plant them.
Oh, from seeds. You don't get them already started or anything. The heirloom ones from the place out in Rockport or anything like that.
I couldn't do that.
No. Interesting. What about
that cheating?
What about the? A lot of people do it.
Yeah, I know.
What about the loam? What about the dirt? Is it what's already there? Or do you fortify it?
I fortify it with I also do composting.
So. Your own composting.
Oh yeah.
Stuff from your own waste.
Yeah.
Wow.
You really? I compost kitchen waste. Okay.
Yep.
So a lot of anything that's not fatty will go in my compost.
What's the thing about the fatty stuff?
Fat seems to attract rodents and animals.
Okay. Yeah. So last podcast you said you live Earth Day every day. Look, this is an example right there. Bill O'Connor is living the Earth Day dream.
Well, I don't know if I live the Earth Day dream, but I'm concerned about leaving my child and a planet that they can live in. Right, I don't want my child living in some sort of toxic soup.
Yeah,
right. And you know, I ended at age 37. I ended up with stage 4 lymphoma. Okay, and they don't know why you get lymphoma. Okay, but there are plenty of things that cause it.
Mm.
Right.
Yeah.
And it could have been something from swimming in Gloucester Harbor as a child. It could have been some kind of exposure to some other environmental thing, or it could just be genetics.
Yeah, no joke though.
No.
Once you get to stage 4 lymphoma, I think that'd probably be a little bit of a life changer for many people. And let's get serious about some of these things.
I was losing a pound a day, and I couldn't stop losing a pound a day.
Yeah,
so I was pretty sick.
That's amazing.
So yeah, in terms of Earth Day, I try to reduce I do my best to reduce my carbon footprint.
Mm. Well, there you go. I think this is a, I think everybody could learn from that. I don't think I do nearly enough. We've gotten a little bit on board, but I think we could probably do better.
It's really, you know, it's so difficult. The society we live in, you know, you have a hard time making any move in our society without creating BTUs, okay?
Yeah.
Or using some sort of fossil fuel, or, you know, throwing away some kind of plastic. You know, it's really, really hard.
Mm.
So the way I say it is, you can only do the best you can with what you have,
mm.
right? So even if you reduce, if remember back when people were talking about the price of gas and what do you do to reduce the price of gas, and Obama came forward and said, well, make sure your tires are inflated, okay? Mm. And everybody gave him a hard time. What kind of ridiculous craziness is that? Well, if every single person did that, it would save millions and millions and millions of barrels of oil a day.
Yeah.
A day.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So that kind of, you can read about acting on it, or you can just act.
Right.
Right. Yeah. And I choose to act.
There you go. I think that's a good way to
It's
end
like
it.
You can't, we're both Catholic. We grew up Catholic. We went to the same churches and stuff.
Mm-hmm. Although I have a few problems with the
church,
but you know, that's where I grew up, and that's where most of my beliefs were formed. Yeah.
But it's what I'm in relation to Earth Day. You can say that you're an environmentalist because you believe in having a cleaner planet because you go celebrate Earth Day, okay? But that's kind of like saying you're Catholic and showing up for church on Easter, Easter only.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
And thinking that's going to, you know, it doesn't work that way.
Right.
Yeah. You got to live it.
You're setting a great example for your kids, I'll tell you that. Well, I think we're good, Bill. I think this is another great podcast. Thanks for being my guest today. Thank you for my friend from Springfield, the Peanut Gallery, Ed Collard.
Thank you.
Very nice for you to stop by. We'll get a sticker on the way out. And, and thanks again, Bill. This is for on April 27th for my guest, Bill O'Connor, and I. Have a great day.